Promenade across the floor, sashay right on out the door, and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, September 7th, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 15.
Hi, I'm your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
Hi, Dale, and I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Square Dance community. Today, we have Dane Gregg, who's a caller from the Philadelphia area, and he calls for a handy-capable square dancing group.
I can't wait to hear more about that.
That's got to be an interesting and different kind of activity, I think.
Yeah. Yep. This past weekend, Barb, what did you do?
You don't even have to ask because I saw you here in Chicago. I know what you did and you know what I did. I did have a weekend we call our Blizzard Gate weekend. It was held in Willowbrook, Illinois in a friend's garage. We had our square of 8 people and once in a while we had a caller. But I did spend some time with you at a different activity. You can tell our listeners about that if you want.
Indeed. I was at the Chi-Town Square, Chicago's Chi-Town Square's fly-in, Crossfire. This is the 21st one, and so it's finally legal. And we had a great time with Nick Bartolacci and Sandy Bryant and about 80 of our closest friends. I won't say anything about how much drinking went on.
Will you tell about the cross-dressing part of the Crossfire?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let's just say that a few people came in outfits.
Yes, it was celebrating marriage equality in Illinois. And so we had the bride, we had the groom.
I saw father of the bride and the mother of the bride there, too.
Father and mother of the bride. And we had drunk Uncle Melvin was there.
There were a couple other brides, weren't there? Wasn't there a couple of brides?
That's correct. So for those
bride and a bride.
For those of you that are on Facebook, several pictures have been posted of the bridal party, shall we say.
I was fortunate enough to attend the one dance where everybody was dressed up. I was busy with my weekend, but I'm very glad I got my chance to see Dale in a costume, and I'm not going to say any more than that.
My sister texted me after seeing the picture and said, you know, you're not supposed to wear black to a wedding.
I think it was okay. It had a pattern.
It did have a pattern, indeed. Anybody you'd like to say hello to this morning, Barb?
Shout out to all my friends who travel to make Square Dance weekends great. I was grateful that I could stay in town and not have to fly. So thanks to everybody who made the flight, and especially on a busy Labor Day weekend. And that includes you and Kathy, too, Dale. Do you have anybody you want to say hi to?
I do. All of the Chicago friends that we get to come together and see, and specifically Michael and Andrew, who put the weekend together, and our host, who allowed us to stay in his house, Phil, really took good care of us, got up in the morning and made us coffee, and we bleary-eyed came downstairs and just really took care of us, drove us around, and we had a really good time. So
yeah.
Thank you very much, Phil. And great to see all of the Chicago friends. And for the very first time, I got to dance in a square with you, Barb.
Me too. That was my first dance with you, Dale. Great.
So I know
it was fun.
I know I've called to you before, but I know we've never actually danced in a square together. So it was a great time. And you know what? You're pretty good.
Yeah, we do okay at C1, don't we?
Getting into the interview now, do you have any experience with handy-capable dancing or handy-capable groups?
I do not, Dale. I think I've had a one-night stand when Lynn Jarvis was calling, my late husband, as I mention often. He called for the blind and other dancers like that quite often in his early days. He was learning, as he was learning to call, this was just another chance to get some experience in. And I think I'd done one-nighter with him, but not a regular square dance by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Have you called for the handy-capable?
I did. It was a very long time ago. Back in 83 or 84, there was a group that hired me to come out and call for them. And as I remember, there were about 3 squares on the floor. Some were in wheelchairs. it didn't make any difference. We all had a wonderful time, and I got to tell you, it's just a beautiful thing to see Weave the Ring done in wheelchairs.
I bet that takes a couple extra beats, but
indeed.
You know, Lynn would have people say, "Will you call free for our not-for-profit group?" And Lynn said, "The only people I'll call free are the handicapped."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we call them handicapable now, but that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his stock answer for people. You know, he said, "I can call all I want for free." I could call every night if people wanted a free caller. So he wanted to limit it, and that was his where he would draw the line.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to Dane here about his experiences with calling, and I think he's called more than just once with them. So
I'm sure.
All right, let's go ahead and get Dane on the line.
Hello?
Good morning, Dane.
Good morning.
Well, this is Dale Hodge from the Square Dance Radio Network, along with my co-host.
I'm Barb Jarvis. Hello, Dane.
Hello, Barb. Hello, Dale.
Hello. Thank you for joining us this morning. We always like to get to know the person before we talk about the topic a little bit. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you do outside of square dancing?
Well, I grew up in Virginia, where I learned to square dance in college many years ago, and jobs bounced me around the East Coast, and we landed here in Pennsylvania about 10 years ago. And right now I don't work a full-time job outside of square dancing. I do freelance work, a lot of technical kind of support work, web design, maintaining email databases, that kind of thing, sort of some nonprofit and school organizations.
Well, maybe the Square Dance Radio Network could use your services.
How did you get started calling?
Well, I got started calling. We had been dancing, my wife Donna and I had been dancing for about 20 years. And as time progresses, I wouldn't say we got bored with square dancing. We were still actively having fun dancing, but I was looking for a new challenge and something different to do. And one night there was an open night event, and I picked up a mic and tried it. And the next year I went off to college school, and it kind of progressed from there.
The rest was history, right?
The rest was history. It's still in the writing.
There you go.
So part of my job here is to do a little bit of background research on people, and I understand that one other thing that you do besides square dancing is work a great deal with dogs.
Yes, I do. We currently have two beagles, and we've trained a couple others before these two, and we train them to compete in agility. We mostly do that for fun. We're not major competitors. We go out to local trials and have fun with that. And one of the little odd jobs I have on the side is helping run some of the trials, the competitions that are in the local area.
Nice. That's fun.
That sounds fascinating. Now, is your house, my experience with beagles in other places is that sometimes they can be loud when you don't want them to be, but you said you've trained them, so your house is pretty quiet.
Well, you can train dogs forever and a day, but you can't always train the instinct out of them. And beagles are trained to talk. They are trained to let the hunter know that they found a rabbit and here's where I am. So you're fighting a lot of instinct with that. So one of my things I'm really fond of saying about beagles is they make great pets. They don't make great neighbors. So I don't really recommend beagles, though, to people who don't live in single-family dwellings. Fortunately for us, we're surrounded by dog people, so when our dogs bark, their dogs bark, or vice versa, so we don't have much of a hassle with it here. We did live with one in Manhattan for a while, and that had its issues in our third-floor apartment.
So before we get into the handicapable, have your dogs ever square danced?
Well, the younger one we have now, I don't think he's ever been to a square dance. The older one, when he was younger, he went to a couple of different dances, square dancing and other dances, and it would have been his preference when he was younger. He's over 14 now. But when he was younger, he would have been right in the middle of the square running around trying to square dance, certainly.
That's great. Well, now we did mention handicapable. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started with that thing?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I had been calling for a few years at that point. I've been calling for about 5 years now. And so I've been off to a couple caller school and done some of the open mic kind of things, but hadn't done a lot of calling. And contacted my Michelle McCartney at the time, and said she was looking for somebody to help with her handicapable group at Hunterdon, New Jersey, which is about a half an hour from me, just across the state line there. And I said, sure, new caller, always looking for an opportunity to do something. Either I was just kind of being obliviously saying yes, or I missed the fact that what she meant was, I'm moving away, and I need somebody to take over this club. Which, in the long run, I was more than happy to do. But when I first did it, I didn't quite get the whole picture in my head of what we were talking about. And so Michelle, I think, just reached out to the right person at the right time. And she still comes down and calls for the club about every other month and is very involved in the handicapable organization. But I'm now their weekly caller.
Now, what is the name of the group?
It's the Hunterdon Stars.
Hunterdon Stars, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's part of the Hunterdon County ARC.
Okay, and that's a city or a county in New Jersey?
Right, it's a county in New Jersey.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit, so that's the location, can you give us a little bit about the history and then the size of the Hunterdon Stars?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the history of the club, except for the fact that it's been around quite a long time. I think Michelle has been working with them for probably pushing 20 years.
Wow.
And so they've been dancing for a long time. Currently, the club is, we usually end up with two squares in the night. We've had times when we've had three. We've even had times when we've had four or five squares. If one of the other ARC programs from a neighboring county will bring their clients over to participate with us. But generally, if it's just our folks, we have two squares on the floor and a night.
Jane, is this something where you would call a certain level, like basic or mainstream or plus, or do you do a lot of new calls every week, or what kind of program do you call?
Handicapable Dancing, the national organization, has a list of a two-level program, a basic and an advanced program, they call it, not to confuse those terms with the same labels that are used for caller lab programs. But they have their own list of calls. But handicapable dancing, in my experience, brings whole new definitions to the term calling to the level of the floor. Because you never know who's going to be in the square at a time. Whether it was somebody who has a developmental issue or sometimes somebody with a physical handicap, we don't have as much of that in Hunterdon. And whether or not things in their lives are really doing well or they're having lots of challenges, or whether or not sometimes even they have medication issues. So any given tip can be barely able to do a do-si-do to a very strong basic program. And so you have to be ready for whatever comes out of your mouth to adjust very quickly for the next call. The Handicapable program, as established by the U.S. Handicapable Square Dance Association, is a list of about 20 calls that all of us would be familiar with as square dancers. And to go to the national conventions with the handicapable dancers, you're expected to know those 20 calls. But within a local club, you may know a whole bunch of other calls if that club's dancers can do them and if that club's caller has found a way to teach them how to handle those calls.
I never knew there was a U.S. Handicapable Square Dance Association. How many clubs would that entail?
At the moment, I don't know. They're working right now on revising the website. And a couple of things that they've asked for on their website is for clubs to submit their names so that they can establish a national listing, as well as callers, so they can create a database of handicapable friendly callers. My experience is I've called for or been exposed to, I think, three clubs in Pennsylvania, and I know of two in New Jersey. So, you know, if that's
a bigger than I thought.
If that's a statistic that runs nationwide, 100, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's great.
You mentioned calling to the groups. I guess you don't have a lot of guest callers coming through from out of town, and is this something that pretty much you do on a weekly basis, or are there actually a number of callers that call with you?
It's something I do on a regular basis, and part of the reason I do it on a regular basis is that it's taken me a couple of years to get myself in a groove and get myself understanding the group and what their limitations are and what they need in support from the caller. But that's not to say that I don't have visions of local callers coming in who are willing to help out, willing to either be an angel or try a tip or work with me on the tip. If there's callers who have the inclination and the patience to do that are local, I would personally love to have them come out and join us and be part of the program and maybe spread it out to other programs in the area and start other clubs.
Great. Is this something that appears to be growing, the need for this handy-capable square dancing, or is it our activity?
Yeah, the need for growth and the actual fact of growth, I don't think are the same thing.
Yeah.
Clearly here, the need is there. The number of people with developmental disabilities is probably growing. The way they recently, there have been some studies you may have heard in the news about autism, and some of that may be change in definition. Some of it may be actually an increase in number. Mm-hmm. That's just one example, a small segment of the population that may well be growing that needs recreation activities and activities like this that stimulate their minds, stimulate their bodies, and get them out socially active are perfect for them.
Right.
That rather than being isolated at home or in a group home, to get out and do something is just an incredible gift for them and incredibly important for their continued development. Whether or not it's actually growing, like I said, I don't know how many clubs there are right now, and there isn't a current active list of handicapable friendly callers. So there's definitely the potential. I hope it's growing, and I hope it will grow.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask my next question then. Do you call for other square dance clubs also, Dane?
I call on a weekly basis for independent squares in Philadelphia. I'm one of the two callers that teach their mainstream and plus classes. Beyond that, I am available to do mainstream or plus dances or basic dances and one-nighter kind of dances. I don't do a lot of that. I'm out two nights a week calling right now, and so I haven't pushed real hard for a lot of other things. I've got a couple of things on my calendar right now.
Great.
But I haven't done a lot.
One of the big parts of square dancing is the music. Can you tell me a little bit about the music that you use and the music that the dancers like?
Well, I try all kinds of music with them. For me, it's a great opportunity as a caller to try out a piece of music. If it's new and I haven't done it someplace, it's a great place to try it out. First of all, they're the most non-judgmental audience in the world.
Right.
And also, you get to slow it down. They need it slowed down, and so I can slow it down and try it. So they're always the first ones to hear my new singing calls. But for them, what they like and they respond to, they like anything that's kind of got a catchy tune. Anything with whistles and bells and pops. There's a number of good patter hoedown kind of pieces of music out there like that. Any fun songs with things like that, like Pink Cadillac with the horn, or the ship's horn on Load the Boat. Anything like that catches their attention and they can get excited and get motivated. And so I try to go with those kinds of pieces of music. Things they can sing along to, like You Are My Sunshine. I don't have a copy of it, but I've got to get a copy of Mickey Mouse because I know they'll love that. A couple people in my group love All That Jazz. Because they sing that jazz, and they just have a great time with it, laughing and stopping and singing along. So anything that catches their attention, whether a lot of very familiar children's kinds of songs like You Are My Sunshine, or well-known musical pieces with lots of energy, really catches their attention, and so that motivates them. They're not very tuned to the beat of the music. I use a double high set of speakers, set it on the floor, turn the bass up to catch them with as much beat as I can, even with two squares. Not a lot of volume, but a lot of bass in that speaker all the way down to the ground. And that helps a lot. Sometimes we'll turn on a real piece with a real piece of music. Excuse me. Sometimes we'll turn on a piece that's got a lot of beat to it, and we'll just promenade around in a big circle together, clapping hands and stomping feet to try to teach them about the rhythm and how to listen for the beat of the music to keep them moving a little faster.
Now, so you mentioned timing. Can you talk a little bit about timing? I mean, as far as how many calls that you can get in during a singing call, any given figure or something like that?
Oh, yes. That's any figure at a time, it can have a different answer to that question. And this is going to sound like an incredible exaggeration, but it's not. There are many times that a singing call figure will be heads up to the middle, heads do-si-do, bow to your partner, swing your corner, promenade. And that's pushing how much they can get in and the amount of time in the singing sequence. Sometimes you can double that in the amount of dancing and beats of music you get in. A lot of times I find myself without a bridge in the middle because I'm catching up to the fact that I misjudged how much time they were going to need. And so we do four sequences and a closing and music's over. We're done. So, like I said before, it's a whole new definition of calling to the floor.
Yeah. Do you use a few more singing calls and a little less patter also, or is it still kind of even?
I keep it even. They love the singing calls. They enjoy singing along with the music. They enjoy those songs that have those fun beats, but there are enough of those with patter, and the patter is where they learn. It's where I can back them up and teach a call that they've either not done in a while or they seem to have forgotten how to do. We're always open to new dancers, so there's no class and you graduate. So on any given night, I have somebody brand new coming off the floor, off the street, and I teach them from scratch, right from the very beginning. Bring them into a square and start dancing. I pair them up with one of our strongest dancers. I watch and give them cues directly to that person. Same thing happens with our staff. Some of the staff at the ARC or from some of their housing programs will come in, and I'll say, get a partner and get in a square. And I'll call right to that person. That wireless headset is an invaluable tool because getting out there and being hands-on and being right there with the square right there where you can help them and not leash to that turntable is very helpful.
I have two questions related to that. One is, what kind of a new call, what call would not be on the list that you would teach to the group? And the other part of the question is, do they have helpers come with them?
Two excellent questions. The first is, kind of brings me to my biggest challenge. And it's, how do I call a call without using the words right or left?
Oh.
Yes. And it's, very challenging. If there's a population of people who are right and left-handed, challenged, that's them.
Wow,
and so I'll do things like, to get them into the star, I'll say, ladies, hold up your partner's hand. Stick his hand in the middle of the square. Guys, use that hand to make a star.
Oh, that's good.
And if I want a left-hand star, well, it just always starts out right, and then I'll say, turn around and make a left-hand
star. That's the other
star.
One.
You know, I got to tell you, Dane, that sounds like a pretty good idea for a lot of the square dancers.
Hey, don't diss the dancers.
Hey, if you have to put a big black L in the back of your left hand,
that's
a nice way to do it.
Yes. And for me, that's always a teaching moment because even though I've gotten them that way, then I label it right hand, and then I'll say turn around and make it left hand. So maybe it'll help teach them a little more, reinforce which one's right and which one's left.
Mm-hmm.
But what Dale says just makes me think right off of how many times I've heard of people in handicapped groups, I mean children's groups, who will have stickers. And
yeah.
They'll give everybody a sticker and put it on their left hand.
That's good.
Oh, and I've used ribbons or armbands or other things, and you'll say, you know, the hand with the sticker, that's your left hand, put it in the center and make a star. I have to be very deliberate and very intentional in what I say and calling to them, and at the same time do that with a more limited vocabulary than any of my other calling,
sure.
Avoiding starting out with right and left, for example, and always, always being specific as to who's starting a call, whether the guy or the girl is starting the call. The flutter wheel for me is always the girl goes in for a flutter
mm-hmm.
wheel.
Yeah.
You know, even by definition, I don't have to do that. For them to be successful, I find I always have to do that to give them as much information as possible. There was another part of the question. What was the second
part? Do you have any
yes.
helpers come along?
Yes, I have got a flyer prepared for this fall to try to get angels to come out and dance with us. They've had it happen in the past at this club. We've had very few since I've started calling there.
Mm-hmm.
I was recently calling at the Pennsylvania State Convention where the local handicapped group came out and danced. And I encourage anybody out there who's holding a local festival, especially a state or a regional festival, to find a way to include the handicapped dancers. Get them to come out and dance an hour with you. I've done that at a couple of state conventions, and it has just been a wonderful experience for me, for those dancers to come out. We had, seven or eight squares on the floor.
Wow.
And for the people at the convention to come in and see them and dance with them for an hour. And when I did that at the summer's Pennsylvania State Convention, the local handicapped club was there with their dancers and their angel dancers. And it was just amazing to see how much more those dancers could accomplish when the square was only half handicapped dancers versus me up front and frequently, all handicapped dancers in two squares. Sometimes I'll be blessed and I'll have one who's not in each square because I have a staff member there.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I have at least one somewhere on the floor. And if I, tonight I can get my wife, who's not off training dogs on the same night, actually, to come along with me, then that brings me one more body. And it really makes a difference. So it's a great opportunity for dancers out there if there's a local handicapped club that's welcoming to angels, to have angels come out. And so, like I said, I'm really looking forward to trying to recruit a few more here in the northern New Jersey area to join us.
So you had mentioned we're calling at the Pennsylvania State Convention. Do you have experience with other handicapped groups besides the 100 and Stars and that local group at the convention?
I have not called as a club caller for any other handicapped groups. But as our state convention has moved around, whatever the local handicapped group is, they'll come dance at the convention. So it's not the same group because the state convention moves around to a different place in Pennsylvania. So I've called for a few different handicapped groups. The one out in Pittsburgh this past year, the club more in central Pennsylvania last year. So that's my limited experience with other groups. They do hold a national convention every other year for handicapped clubs. It always is a conflict on my schedule, so I haven't had the opportunity to attend it. But it's a time that they all get together, and it's a great exposure to each other and to a new city and traveling and doing some sightseeing, as well as exposure to other callers.
Do you have a feel for the number of dancers that would attend that?
I really don't. I haven't been, and I'm just kind of oblivious to those kinds of details, unfortunately.
When we interviewed the Friedlanders for the 61st National Square Dance Convention, they mentioned that their entire program was going to begin with a handicapped group. Do you know anything about that? I understand there's a YouTube video. Did you hear anything about that, Dean?
I didn't hear about it. In fact, most of what I know about it is what I heard on your show.
Okay.
So our group does go and attend the national convention every year. So the 100 stars travel once or twice a year. They either travel once a year when there's a national, or the year that there's a handicapable national convention too, they travel to both of them. So our group's real blessed with being able to get out there and get that exposure and those travel opportunities.
Great. Now, it's been a very long time, but I had worked with a handicapable group in the past, and one of the things that really stood out to me was the amount of laughing that takes place and the joking and sometimes ribbing, and everybody's just always got a smile on their face. Is that your experience?
It is my experience. It's more my experience when they're having fun and doing something like one of the conventions. We spend a lot of time teaching and getting new people on board, which brings the tone a little more serious at our local club. But I'm hoping that being able to relax that with more angels will bring more of that out at 100 and Stars this year. Because it's always on the edge, and we always laugh and joke and have a good time with each other between tips and at the snack break. And sometimes I throw something else in, like the hokey pokey, and they just get out and laugh and have a really good time with that. So if I can bring more of that into the actual square dancing, okay, I'm looking forward to finding ways of doing it.
Yeah, you mentioned the breaks in between. Is a lot of times people who are just learning, learning a certain program, will ask the caller, can you help me, can you show me this in between? Is that typically what happens during the breaks, or are people off, looking for food and other socializing? What happens during the breaks?
Yes. Well, at our club, there we do four tips in a night on a typical evening and an hour and a half dancing. And somewhere in the middle, usually after the second break, they go to a different room and have refreshments. So they'll leave the room and go have their snack for that break. They're not as self-aware as the population that you're used to teaching most of the time. So they don't often come up and say, can you show me this? But they're open to doing that. So I try to create those moments by watching them and going up to somebody afterwards and starting a conversation. And I'll say, I see you were having a hard time with star through. And so we'll practice start through a few times and point out that they're holding their hand up right, but they're not walking around the other person, for example. So to create those moments, they're open to it, and they do it. We frequently do it, but I have to initiate it. They don't come out and ask for it. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of those during the breaks that aren't the snack break.
And as far as tip length and as far as dance length, are the dances 2 to 2.5 hours, and are the tips still about 12 to 15 minutes?
For my group, the hour and a half format that we have right now is probably the most you'd get out of them. They're up dancing every tip. If they're there and they're interested in it, they're always running up to get in the square. So the ones that are really excited about square dancing wear themselves out pretty quickly. There are a few sideliners that are there and gets them out of the house who aren't really interested, and we have to coach and encourage and try to get them up for a tip or two during the night. But most of them are just so excited and happy to be there and dance that an hour and a half's worth of dancing is more than enough to give them a good night's rest afterwards.
And how long are the tips and how long do you run the breaks?
It's a pretty typical timing format. I do it by feel. I don't do it with a stopwatch or a kitchen timer or anything like that. So I do it by feel, but this many years into it, I can tell you if we start on time, four tips in an hour and a half, sometimes with patter and two singing calls on the last tip, fills up that time slot quite nicely. So I think the timing's about the same as a typical dance you'd go to.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Can you tell us some funny experiences that you've had when you were calling, or things that happen? When I see videos of different people working with the handicapable groups, there's just always, it just always seemed to be a lot of laughing as though, you know, something had just taken place.
Oh, yes, and frequently I have no idea what it is. But there's one experience that happened to me a number of times before I realized what was going on. I danced right there on the floor level with them. I'm not up on the stage. We're just in a conference room at the Arc Center. in Hunterdon. And I stand up on my table and I'm calling away, and I kept finding that I kept getting nudged back around behind the table. And they'd go dancing away, and next thing I know, I'd have to be backing out to get out of the way. And I kept thinking, no, this is pretty typical. They're not really aware of their body space, and sometimes their squares will really get big and lopsided and take up a lot of space. And so for a long time, I don't know how long, I was attributing to that. And finally, I was totally oblivious. Sometimes their humor can be very subtle, and I didn't know it. And there's a gentleman who dances with us every week, and he's very excited and has fun dancing. Well, he was playing a joke on me. And every time he would promenade out toward me and almost run into me. And he was doing it on purpose to be a joke, and I was totally oblivious to it until I'm up in the corner and behind the table going, how did I get here? Once I figured it out, I started playing along with him. Sometimes I'll jump out in front of him and then jump back again, and we have a good time with it now. But he had to do that quite a while before I caught on to what he was up to. And it's those times that you think that they're limited in their development and they're limited in their social skills, that you take them for granted in those aspects, and then they really surprise you in those moments that let you know that they really do get a lot more than they often get credit for, and are often capable of being subtle and humorous and engaging in ways that surprise you.
That's wonderful.
And those are great joys when those events happen, yes.
Is that one of the things you'd say you learn most about handicapable dancers?
Yes. There's not one specific thing. I've had some exposure to working with developmental disabilities prior to calling for them. Mm-hmm. So the learning curve of that was very similar as doing other programs with the population. But to not take them for granted, to recognize them as people and as an adult, that's been very important learning for me. I frequently will hear them referred to as the kids at the club. And sometimes it can be very easy to think of them as children. And I look at my population and I realize that a lot of the ones I call for at the club are older, some of them much older than I am. So to realize they're adults and talk to them as adults and to treat them with respect is very important, and I'm reminded of that and have to relearn that myself every now and then. And
we could all learn more about that, couldn't we?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the national organization and what we might find at the website, www.ushandicapable.org?
Well, right now, you can learn a lot, but it would be from an historic perspective. Michelle Mabee is the title's president of the organization right now, and she just told me the other day that they're working really hard on updating that site. So it'll make reference to things that have already passed. There'll be a big emphasis on the last convention, for example, and the list of clubs there and the caller and the list of handicapable-friendly callers is out of date. But they're aware of that issue and are working on it. So it is still a good place to get a basic feel for the organization, what it is. You can find the list of the basic list and the advanced list of calls on the website. You can find the location of all the past conventions. You can put in a request for more information. You can put in a request for information about callers in your area. If you have a club out in your area and you're not associated or you're not sure you're listed with Handicapable, the U.S. Handicapable Organization, then there's a way to submit that on the website right now. So it's a resource that, like websites I know from working with them, can slip past you really easily. It's still got a lot of useful information for everything from current groups to how to start a group. It's a great place to learn about handicapable dancing right now.
Great.
Any final thoughts or anything else that you'd like to share about the 100 Stars, your experience with the group, or any additional stories that have backed you into a corner?
Well, The thing I would say is to encourage people who have an interest and inkling for getting involved in handicapable freelancing to get out there and give it a try. I recognize it's not for everybody, but it's one of those things I don't think you know it's for you until you give it a try. If you've never worked with this type of population before, it's worth putting your toe in the water and checking it out. If you are interested in it, it is very fulfilling. They're a loving, accepting group of people who have lots of fun and lots of laughs and jokes together. And if you could get involved, it would be a two-way win-win kind of situation. They could always use the support and the encouragement from the larger dance community. And if you're interested, it can be very rewarding for you. And one of the ways of being involved and supporting for handicapable dancing is, like so many things in life, the funding side of it. In order for these clubs to get together and go to national conventions, and to go to the National Handicapable Convention, they have to raise funds. So in addition to being involved as a dancer, as an angel, as a caller, if your local association, we're really excited about the New Jersey Council holding a benefit dance for us later this month with Tom Miller here in northern New Jersey. But if your local organization has a way of doing a benefit dance or support dance to help out the local handicapable club, that is a gift that helps a lot of people, many, many of which have limited resources to be able to do this kind of thing on their own. So support from being present to being a caller to being an angel to financial contributing to make their programs possible is really worthwhile and can be lots of fun and very rewarding for those of us who get involved and do it.
Well said. That's great. So we appreciate your being with us today, Dane, and we hope that this will spark a few folks to get involved with the handicapable dancers.
Well, I sure hope it does, and I look forward, hopefully, from hearing from some listeners who may be in this area who have questions. I know that the Handicapable President, Michelle Mabee, who I've mentioned numerous times, would love to hear from people across the country and in her own region up in New York, and any other handicapable clubs who can hear from people as a result of this program. It would make every second of this worthwhile if we just hear from a few people who want to get involved and help. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good day, and I think the dogs are barking back there, so I'm going to feed them.
Okay, well, you take care, and my best to your dog, too, okay?
Thanks a lot, Dane.
Bye-bye, Dan. Bye-bye, Barb.
Bye-bye.
Did you get that? That's appropriate.
That was totally unscripted. But they say dogs have a sixth sense. Wow, what a patient man. And it just sounds like he's just got a heart of gold to work with this group and to take the time. This is fabulous.
And it sounds like he has a fair amount of fun doing it too, doesn't it?
It does. I got to tell you, I just loved the story of how the guy would promenade and push him further and further back into the corner. And he was just unaware of what was going on. So I'm like, the whole floor knew exactly what was going on and was in on the joke until Dane finally caught on.
Oh, we love when that happens to callers, don't we? We dancers, anyway.
Sure, Barb, yeah.
I remember Lynn Jarvis used to call for the handicapable, and I think he said he even called for deaf people at one point. But I know that in that latter situation anyway, they each had a helper that danced with them. But he would do the same kind of thing that Dane did, and that's to really bump up the bass or find a song with a heavy beat. He had a lot of joy working with those people, and he felt like they had more fun than the average dancers. They just really enjoyed that evening out.
I also like the fact that Dane said they are the least judgmental group of people that you will meet.
Yeah.
Well, if you do get a chance, please visit the website, www.ushandicapable.org. And I have been out to visit it while I was doing research for the interview. And you can contact them a number of different ways to find out about groups in your area and whether you could stop in and dance with them or be involved with that group in any way at all.
Now, Dale, I have not been out to the website yet. Is this specifically square dance related, or is this the entire Handicapable organization?
USHandicapable.org is the U.S. Handicapable Square Dance Association.
Okay.
Oh, and I like the quote on the front page, a girl named Kathy. My name is Kathy. I love square dancing. I love NASCAR, too. It's wonderful. So, yeah, it's a very nice website.
So what do you have coming up this coming weekend?
Upcoming, what do I... Oh, well, for those of you that haven't heard of Groupon, Groupon has half-price deals in many major metropolitan areas of the country. We were able to find a half-price tickets to a baseball game, and so we're going to see the Washington Nationals this weekend. We're going to do a little bit of car detailing. Then I've got a dance on Sunday in Pennsylvania, Unconventional Squares.
Nice name. And what time should my car be there?
That would be fabulous.
After you detail it, that is.
Oh, for the detailing, not for the dance.
Well,
I'm
both.
Sorry.
It could both. It could be, but there, if it's coming out for the detailing, it might as well go to the dance.
Yeah. And for you, Barb, this coming weekend?
I guess I will leave my car in Illinois because I have 4 square dances coming up again this weekend. I didn't do enough dancing last weekend, so we have to add a little more. No, we have our importers group has Ben Rubright coming in from Florida, so we're looking forward to a fun time with him. But that's 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday, so it doesn't leave a lot of time for driving out east.
We'd like to say thanks to our guest, Dane Bragg, caller for the Hunterdon Stars in New Jersey.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun. This is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Bye, Dale. Have a good week, everyone.
And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing. See you all on the dance floor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.